We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, this is Dirk Nowitzki, and you're listening to the Mavs Step Back podcast.
Let me step back for a minute, tired of the gimmicks. See, we just focused on winning. Ball in the airline center, we bout to get litty. Luka carrying a torch, Borden jumped up on the porch. How you reckon with his force? Third season in the game, and he a legend by his fourth. Look, after Dirk, now the king of Dallas. Airline serving as the palace. Young team, and it's full of talent. Want revenge, we accept the challenge. Luka carrying a legacy. What it take to be an MVP? Being great, know it cost a fee. Know it really ain't that hard to see. Hold on, wait, silence the critics, cause they never did it. Pass out Jordan, I ain't woke up the city. Map shooting hot like we straight out the chimney. Go back to Batman, I'm calling them Drizzy. More triple doubles, I'm waiting on 50. Step back smoother, you know it's so filthy. If I get down on my team, gonna lift me. Rep the map, step back, overcame the setbacks. Starting where we left at, know we gotta get back. Know we gotta get back. Rep the map, step back, overcame the setbacks. Starting where we left at, know we gotta get back. Like, know we gotta get back. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Mavs Step Back podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and DallasBasketball.com colleague, Matt Galatson. Matt, today we are officially 2 full weeks, only 2 weeks away from the Mavs starting training camp, the offseason. It hasn't really gone the way everybody expected it to, I think most people have kind of come around, you know, to the idea of, yeah, you know, it didn't meet expectations, but the team's still going to be good. You have Luka Doncic. It's only his fourth season in the league. He's posted stuff of him, you know, being in the weight room and starting to get in shape. Had more of a normal off season this time around. And, you know, he started off the season kind of sluggish last year. He wasn't in shape, and that was very, very obvious, and I think that probably sits in the back of his mind how he started last season, so I don't think that's going to happen again. The roster did improve, so I think for at least the regular season, even if the roster stays exactly how it is right now, the Mavs are still going to have a lot of regular season success. I think they're going to win a bunch of games. I think they are going to end up getting home court in the West this year. I just feel like regular season success for this team isn't going to be a problem. Now, when they get to the postseason, if they still haven't addressed the secondary playmaking stuff that we've been harping on all offseason, and, you know, it was stated to be one of their biggest priorities going into the offseason, and it hasn't happened yet, then, you know, that's probably where the team will start to see some issues. So, That's where I'm at with this team. I'm excited going into training camp. I still think there's a, you know, a move or two that needs to be made to completely solidify them as like title contenders. But as far as regular season wins and regular season rankings in the West standings, I mean, I'm pretty optimistic with how this team can perform in a regular season atmosphere. So what are your thoughts on that as we get closer to training camp?
Yeah, I mean, look, the there's still a lot to be positive about. I'm known as being the biggest pessimist outside of maybe Kirk Henderson on the Mavs beat and on Mavs Twitter. But never once did we say that, this team was going to be bad. I never said that. I know Kirk's never said that. I know you've never said that. Nobody's ever said that. But there's a lot to be excited about. They do have the issues, though. You know, that there's secondary playmaking stuff. I mean, we've been talking about that longer than just the offseason. We've been talking about that dating back to the beginning of last season. And that's something they certainly need to get addressed. So, but there's still a lot to be excited about. I'm very intrigued to see what Reggie Bullock does. I'm very intrigued to see what, how they can fit Sterling Brown into the rotation and you know, make Luka's life easier with these 3-point shooters. I mean, all these are good things. So, we just kind of have to see the approach they take. And if, you know, I know people are tired of hearing it, especially from me, God, especially from me. But, you know, if they get Goran Dragic, then that's a major win in so many ways. And I know people are tired of.
I was about to ask you, like, apparently the Instagram post that Goran put on this morning, you know, with the Raptors welcoming him, and he had like the balloon bouquet thing that had had his name printed on it and all this personalized Raptors gear, and he said, "Oh, thanks, Toronto, and let's get to work." So that didn't completely shatter your hopes.
No, because I mean, what else is he supposed to do? Like, I mean, he already learned his lesson from even considering not wanting to play in Toronto. He's got a ton of social media backlash, and maybe what he said was mistranslated. I don't know. It doesn't really matter at this point because the damage was done. But I think at that point he realized, okay, just from an optics standpoint, I need to approach this as though I'm all in, because
he was attacked. He was attacked by Toronto fans when, right. when that interview came out.
And like, not only does he need to do that personally for optics, but I think Toronto's like, hey, we are going to help you work towards a buyout and get you where you want to go, but we need you to also on your side. And on our side, I think we need to play this as positively as possible, just from an optics standpoint, because that's just how things, like, you don't want controversy. You don't want, like, I mean, the last thing they want him to do is take a picture on an Instagram post and say, hey, none of this crap's gonna matter in 2 weeks. So I think that's just what he had to do. It doesn't concern me at all. I mean, we know what the Mavericks want. We know what Goran wants, and that's ultimately what matters.
Yeah, and I think as a last resort, I think Toronto is at a point where it's like, okay, well, you know, we'll buy him out. We're gonna buy him out. But that's if we absolutely get to a point where we can't trade him. So I'm starting to think that, you know, Masai Ujiri is willing to, you know, run this thing out until possibly as late as the trade deadline. I mean, maybe not all the way up to it, but I've accepted that this is probably not a move that's going to happen before the start of the season. And maybe, I mean, there's a chance it still could, but I'm not as optimistic on it now. But, you know, it's definitely one of those things to keep an eye on. And like I said, for the regular season, at least, I don't think it's going to matter as much. But if they can get him before they get on their playoff run this year, and, you know, Goran Dragic still has a couple months before the playoff starts to get acquainted to his new team and, you know, get mixed in there, I think that would work. That would still work out really well for them. So, okay, let's see here. We did a mailbag this week, an old fashioned mailbag. So we're going to go through every one of these questions and we're going to give our answers to it. And then just a little sneak peek here, a little preview, a little spoiler alert type of thing. For all of our live content going forward, guys, we're going to be using an app called Fireside. Maybe some of y'all have heard of it, but basically it's basically going to be a more enhanced version of what you've seen over at Green Room. It's going to give us a lot more flexibility, a lot of different places where we can simultaneously record live, and it's a smooth app, smooth to use. I know there's so many different live recording apps out there right now, but Mark Cuban co-founded this one, and him and his co-founder invited us to join it, and we did a little mini seminar thing with them telling us all about it the other day. And I mean, it seems like it's really going to be, you know, it seems like this is what we've been looking for. You know, it has everything that that we want, that's going to make our lives easier when it comes to live content, and it's going to be good for you, the listeners, as well. So if you want to go ahead and download the Fireside app, go ahead and do so. You can find myself on there. It's just Dalton Trigg. Matt's on there too, Matt Galatson. And just go ahead and download it and follow us on there, because our next episode is going to be done on Fireside. So, okay, Matt, we're going to jump into these traditional mailbag questions. This one is from Reese on Twitter. He's from the Mavs Outsiders podcast. What's that? No. This is other Reese.
I was going to say, I didn't know he was on that podcast.
No. This is other Reese. Reese Conkle. He's taken a Twitter hiatus lately. I haven't seen him on there in a while. But anyway, Reese, he says, who's a Mavs related guest, either a player, front office, coach, media, fan, whoever, that you want on the show that hasn't been on already?
Can I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Luka.
See, I was leaning towards that, but here's my thing. We've seen how Luka, and he's getting better, obviously. You know, he's getting better in the media and with his interviews and his quotes he gives and all that. So he's getting better as time goes on, just like Dirk did. But he just doesn't really – it seems like one of those guys where, like, if we did have him on the podcast – I mean, obviously you have him if you can have him, but it seems like one of those things that you'd be like straining to try and get 10 minutes out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I do have another one though.
Who's that?
Boban.
Oh yeah. That'd be amazing. I didn't even think about him. The one I was going to choose is former player, Tyson Chandler. I'd love to have Tyson Chandler on the pod.
Yeah. Jet would be good too.
Yeah, Jet's very talkative. Any of the 2011 championship guys, I would love to have them on, but especially Tyson Chandler, because he's just a really smart dude, and I would love to have him on. Okay, next one here. This is from Alden on Twitter. What are y'all's hobbies outside of basketball? I'm gonna let you go first.
Oh man. Outside of basketball, is this what I do in my free time? Because I don't really get a lot of free time these days.
Yeah, I mean, just if you do have free time, what do you like to do?
Warzone. You know, if you want this smoke, my Xbox gamer tag is the Galatsonator. But you know, I like to golf. Haven't been able to play in a while, but I like to golf. I like to hunt, podcasts, listening to podcasts while I work, all that kind of stuff. Nothing too crazy. Sort of my main focus lately, though, and this is going to sound really cheesy, so nobody make fun of me, but trying to my girlfriend is in grad school at Indiana, so. Typically these days, whatever free time I have, I spend trying to maintain that, because it's a long distance thing, and that's always tough. But yeah, I mean, that just pretty much those things, nothing crazy. But that's been my biggest focus lately.
Yeah. I mean, it's for me, I mean, I'm really kind of boring outside of my basketball stuff. You know, if I have free time, I even go play basketball in my free time. You know, I'm a Southern Miss alumni, so I like to go to Southern Miss football games every now and then, even though they're terrible. you know, I pretty much everything I do I mean, as crazy as it sounds, it kind of revolves around sports until you get to the holidays and then you go and spend time with family and everything. But, even video game related, I'm not even a huge video game guy. If I do play something, it's either it's either 2K or, you know, I recently got into MLB The Show, you know, during the at the start of the summer. So yeah, it's really just kind of boring over here. I got my day job. That's not a hobby. But I work 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. And then sometimes I'm able to take advantage of lunch breaks and record a pod. If not, we do it in the afternoons, or, you know, we kind of force it if we have a special guest. But other than that, that's really it.
This is all aside from Dalton's other second day job where he markets Welch's grape juice. Since he was a youngster, we all know it. So
yeah, look up the Welch's grape juice kid on YouTube. I've been linked to that by Matt for years. So
Childish Gambino is to Donald Glover as Welch's grape juice kid is to Dalton.
Oh man. And nobody asked us about this, but this is just kind of a random thing. I guess I'd say I love listening to music too, and I love all kinds of music. And then, you know, recently they had the big debate, you know, Kanye versus Drake. Was Donda better than, you know, Certified Lover Boy and all that stuff? And I'm just sitting over here like, I'm really enjoying both. I really love it. Any kind of music like that. And I thought both were great. And I don't even know if you saw it, but like even Nelly came out with a new album and I was just like, you know what? That's like a hip hop / country crossover type album. And I'm like, I really enjoyed that too.
So, yeah, I'm probably not going to check that one out anytime soon, but I'll take your word for it.
I figured you wouldn't, but I've always been a big Nelly fan. So I enjoyed that one as well. But anyway, all right, this next one is from Katie on Twitter. Said, why is Luca?
Yeah.
I'm kind of going out of order here. We already talked about Dragic. So David on Twitter, I'm sorry. We already reached our Dragic quota at the beginning of this pod, but I think we already answered your question there. Katie on Twitter says, why is Luca the MVP odds favorite going into the season again, when the chances are the Mavs won't be a high enough seed for him to get it? And that was part one from her. And my answer to that, I think I've kind of already given that answer too. I think they're going to be really good in the regular season. I think they will be high enough to where he can win MVP this year, you know? I think his numbers will be good enough and they'll be high enough in the West standings, and they will win enough games to where he can legitimately win MVP. So you don't have to be the number one seed in the West to win MVP. Nikola Jokic just showed us that. Right.
I have a quick take on this one. I think anytime a player does something truly outstanding that nobody else in the league did that year, he has a very good chance of winning MVP. And I think the odds makers know that, but I also think Luka is going to average a triple double next year. So,
yeah. And I mean, something that's only been done 5 times in NBA history, and Russell Westbrook's done it 4 of those times, which is insane. Oscar Robertson is the other one. But yeah, it wouldn't shock me at all. He was very, very close, Luka, that is, to averaging a triple double last year. And if he does that this season, and he keeps improving his 3-point shooting, which he raised up to 35% this past year, which was by far a career high. If he can keep improving on that, and the Mavs, you know, roll through the regular season the way I expect them to, I think he has a very legitimate shot at winning MVP. And I really don't. I mean, if you average a triple double and you've got your team as one of the top teams in the West, I mean, that's going to be really hard to beat. And then you have like guys like Antetokounmpo and Jokic who have already won MVPs. So you wonder if there's any kind of voter fatigue there and, you know, stuff like that. Voters like a new guy if his credentials are good. So, all right. Second part of that, it says, where do you envision the Mavs ranking this season? Are they getting that four seed, or are they fighting to stay out of the play-in? I've already given my take on this. I think they're definitely going to get home court. I've kind of talked myself into that three seed, definitely four seed at, you know, if injuries stay at bay, you know, if they stay relatively healthy, I think this team is going to get home court. But I could potentially see a scenario, you know, given the rest of the West landscape, how they could end up finding themselves in that three seed. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I don't think that's – I think that's probably the best-case scenario. I don't see them finishing that high personally, but I think they'll be close. The West is just tough, and there's, you know, there's going to be a lot to dictate that dictates what happens going forward. I mean, the Lakers, we don't know what they're going to be with all of their geriatrics. Like, are they going to be the experienced, wily vet team that just, you know, is able to handle everything, or are they just going to break down and all be in wheelchairs by the end of the season? But no, yeah, I think the three seed is not out of the realm of possibility at all, personally.
Well, I, like I said, we'll see very soon. You know, the season's coming up quick, and how the season starts off will probably, you know, give us a good indicator of, you know, where our gut feelings were at. But, you know, I just, given everything the team went through last year, all the crossroads, all the hiccups, and then they still found a way to end up as the fifth seed, which, again, that was a three-way tiebreaker. But, you know, they had a bunch of injuries. They had the COVID stuff they went through. They had Luka not in the best of shape at the beginning of the season, rushed off season. You know, you had the stuff with Rick Carlisle that everybody was upset about. He was, you know, when the team had the COVID issues, and that was a golden opportunity to give the young guys a bunch of run. You know, even though they were losing games anyway, so it made sense just to, like, let the young guys develop. You know, that never really happened. It was very frustrating. So I think there's just a lot of things you can point to. And then even if you are disappointed with the offseason acquisitions, you know, they are an upgrade. You have to factor in some internal development with Luka and some other guys too, especially Luka though. I mean, he's going to continue to get better. He's only 22 years old. So, I mean, I'm really optimistic about it.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, Matt, these next two, we're going to go through these two kind of quick. It's kind of a, you know, non-serious stuff. This is from Patrick on Twitter. Not the Patrick, the robot that's spelled without a C. This is a different one. But anyway, Patrick on Twitter says, what Hollywood actor would play Dirk in a movie about his career. And Matt, I've thought about this for a little bit, and if we're just going based off of like who looks the closest to Dirk, I've kind of settled on Owen Wilson, but I understand that. I was going to say, you know, just from facial recognition, I'd go with Owen Wilson, but like with voice and like stature, you know, I'd have to go with like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
So I have
a crossbreed answer for that.
I had a couple here that I thought of. One of them, I thought it would be hilarious if Dolph Lundgren did it.
That's a good one. I like massive. That.
And he's got, you know, he's got that, just dirty mentality. But the other ones, you know, I thought about Jason Segel. He's a really good actor. He's tall. He likes basketball. He's, you know, that'd be a decent one. But this is also like really hard. You know, it's impossible to do something like that, I think, just off the top of your head. One thing I thought would be funny, based off of his recent Hollywood appearance, actually, Beaumont's technically an actor now. Maybe he could do it. But no, I think my mind kind of drifted towards Dolph Lundgren at first. And
that's a good one. I didn't think about him, but that would be pretty cool. You know, he's a little more jacked than what Dirk is, but you know, so would Arnold Schwarzenegger. But as far as just like, you know, Owen Wilson, he's got like that shaggy blonde hair look. It just kind of reminds me of a young day Dirk. Or I guess prime Dirk when he had the long hair going and everything. So I don't know. I mean, that'd probably be a epic failure if they tried to do that and then they used his Owen Wilson's voice and then it just ruined it. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a little bit.
Wow. What a great shot, J Kid. Wow.
Okay. You know what? That might actually be a good idea. I could find myself enjoying that movie. All right. Next one is, let's see. This is from Ben on Twitter. He contributes to Mavs Moneyball. Let's see. All right. So for time's sake, we're going to choose four each, but he said, choose players, eight players total from the rosters of the 2016 and 2011 finals teams, for a real world style reality show. Okay, so I'm going to go first here. I'm going to pick two from the 06 team and two from the 2011 team. So the 06 team, I'm going with Josh Howard and Jerry Stackhouse. And then the 2011 team, I'm going with Deshaun Stevenson and Jason Terry. That's my four. I think that would be a very fun group to have a reality TV show about.
Ooh.
I thought about putting Dirk in there just because of like the, you know, he failed in 2006 and then, you know, he has the redemption in 2011 and, you know, he'd kind of bring like a feel good guy to the show and everything. But I mean, I couldn't do it.
So mine would be, I think, so are there, so clarify this for me. Are they going on the same show?
Or are yeah. We're supposed to like combine these guys to all go on the same show. So
I think Marquise Daniels and Josh Howard from the 06 team.
Marquise Daniels would be a good reality TV show guy.
Yeah, I mean, that would just be like a pot smoking, like reflection reality show. But then, like, if you go to the 2011 team, like, I kind of want to have Dirk and Brian Cardinal. I think Brian Cardinal would be like the perfect reality show guy. You could put him on like literally any sports reality show, and he would be a perfect fit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't know. Like, those are my four guys who I think would be best, but I don't know if they fit well together. I know that out of any of those teams, the one guy I would pick is Brian Cardinal.
You can't tell me that Brian Cardinal couldn't be doing exactly what Brian Scalabrine has been doing the last handful of years, if not better.
He's better at it. The janitor? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He comes in at cleanup time.
I'm actually disappointed that we haven't heard, you know, hardly anything out of him since he retired. It's very disappointing. We need to look into that. That might be more up forgotten Mavs. You know, that might be more up his avenue there, or Mavs Archives is what it's called now. But you know, I wouldn't mind having Brian Cardinal on the show. We may have to go back to Reese's question at the top of this mailbag and slip him in there. But okay, this is the next one, Matt, from Rolo on Twitter. We're going to try and get these last three out here. But it says, besides Seattle and Las Vegas, which seems like the obvious choices right now, which other cities that don't have an NBA team could become host of an expansion team in the future?
What were his two?
Seattle and Las Vegas. I haven't said this like on the pod or anything. At least I don't think I have, but like privately, like just talking with friends, and I have an uncle that lives there and we go to visit him every now and then. But Nashville, I feel like Nashville would be an excellent place for an NBA expansion franchise, because it was about it's 2001. Yeah. So 4 years ago, my wife and I went on our honeymoon, and it was like we started in Dallas and we went like all the way to Myrtle Beach and South Carolina on a road trip. And we stopped in Nashville and met with my uncle and all that stuff. And it was right in the middle of the Stanley Cup when the Predators made it. And man, the city was it was incredible. I don't watch hockey a lot, but I watched some of those games. The crowd was incredible. It just feels like that'd be a really cool place to have an NBA franchise. But
yeah, I was just trying to think. I think, well, so first of all, going back to Nashville, if they can accept a hockey team, they would be head over heels for a basketball team. So that's a really good pick.
Yeah.
But I think that my pick for like a major city, I think it would have to be Pittsburgh.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because like that's a really major city that doesn't have one. They can fold in the black and gold uniform theme that they're the only major city where every team has the same color scheme, which is really cool.
Create a Pittsburgh and Philly rivalry up there, basketball.
Right, exactly. I don't know. I think that that city would eat something like that up, and it would give them an excuse, kind of like what Brooklyn did for New York. It would give them an excuse to kind of separate themselves from the disaster that is the 76ers.
Okay, so that one was fun. The last two here. This one is from MFFL Philippines on Twitter. It says, do you think Luka being a prime MVP candidate, considering his league high usage stats last year, is going to be good or bad for the Mavs in the long run? I kind of had to look at this twice, because at first I was like, well, I mean, it can't be a bad thing. But then I thought about it again. I was like, okay, I can kind of see what he's saying here. I think they definitely have to get Luka some more help as far as the secondary ball handler stuff, just to get his usage rate down. I don't think it's a bad thing, you know, for the team. Him having a high usage rate, especially as currently constructed, because him being an MVP candidate and having that high usage, this team's going to win a lot of regular season games. And I think it's going to have the team in a better position in the West in the playoffs. Now, long-term, if we're looking long-term, because like I said, Luke is only 22 years old. He's already done so much in his first three seasons. Long-term, they've got to get that handled. I think you can still be an MVP candidate without having to have historic usage rates like what we've seen from Luka, especially in the postseason last year. But I do kind of, you know, worry about him, about the toll that it's going to have on him in the long term if they don't get him the certain help that he needs. So, well, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they really had any other choice over the last few years since Luke has been with them to go about it any other way. Obviously, it would be better if he had that help so he didn't have to have such a high usage rate. But, you know, if this is the roster that he has going forward, then I do think that's what's best for them this season, is for him to have the ball in his hands as often as possible and make things happen. I don't think there's any other way they can win, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing for the Mavs for sure. I just kind of, like I said, if everything stays the way it has been for the foreseeable future, then you start to wonder, like, okay, well, is he eventually going to break down because of this load that he's had to carry, you know, forever? Because, you know, LeBron did that in Cleveland, and it finally got to a point where he was just like, look, I'm going to Miami to team up with D-Wade and Chris Bosh, and, you know, where I don't have near as much of a load to carry. So you kind of wonder if it just keeps going on for the next handful of years, if that would eventually creep into Luka's mind, like, hey, I need a break. But, you know, hopefully, and I'm not going to place any money on it, but hopefully he gets a little bit more help out of KP this year, because I know we've been harping on it, mainly I've been harping on it, but it's just a fact that it's been Porzingis' first fully healthy offseason where he hasn't had to rehab anything. He's been able to fully focus on his game. He's not going to have to play catch up at the start of the season. He's going to be ready to go from game one, which has like never happened. So we'll see what happens there. Won't get my hopes up, won't put any money on it, but if it does happen, that would just completely change the dynamic of this team going into this season and beyond. So all right, last one here, Matt. This is from Ryan on Instagram. We got an Instagram question this time. Says, what matchups are you guys looking forward to the most this season? And for me, and I mean, you probably all already know this, I'm sure most of our listeners already know this, but, you know, given my location, I really enjoy going down to New Orleans. It's about an hour and a half drive from where I'm at. Every time the Mavs play down there, I try to go down there and, you know, do my thing media wise, and I really enjoy it. So that's the ones I'm looking forward to when they play in New Orleans. I think the first time they play down there this year is like December 1st, and then they play again down there in February. I just really love enjoy going down there and, you know, getting to chat with some of my other media friends that I've made, you know, throughout the past handful of years, and, you know, just get to cover the team. And, you know, it's something I don't get to do much. I've only done it two or three times, you know, in Dallas the last handful of years. And then we had COVID come up, and it kind of, I didn't even go to New Orleans last year because of all of that. So I'm really excited about those games down in New Orleans this year. Is there a particular matchup that you're excited for, Matt?
When Indiana comes to Dallas.
That is a very good one.
With Rick Carlisle. That's the one I'm looking forward to the most. I don't really care about the actual outcome of the game per se. I mean, you know, that whatever happens, happens. But I'm excited to see the welcome that Rick Carlisle gets back. Cause I mean, as much as we complained about him, he's the best coach in the history of the franchise. It's not even
he's a Mavericks legend. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
He's a true Maverick for life. And just because they parted ways doesn't mean that's not the case. So I'm excited to see what they do for him when he comes. And you know, I'm honestly excited to see what he does with Indiana with a fresh start.
He's got a good roster to work with.
Yeah, with a front office that's probably going to be a little bit easier to work with. So, that's the one that really sticks out to me. Obviously, the Christmas Day game with Utah is going to be fun and all that stuff. But it's really, I don't think there's another game on the schedule that any Mavs fan should be looking forward to more than Indiana coming to Dallas.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those things, like Rick Carlisle in Indiana, he doesn't have a Luka, he doesn't have a Dirk type star player, but I think just the depth from the top to the bottom, that's a very Rick Carlisle type of team. Like, I think he'll do very well with that. They'll be very deep. They're in the East. So I'm sure they'll rack up a bunch of wins in the regular season. But yeah, like you said, I mean, obviously towards the end there, everybody started to feel like, you know, it was kind of time for a change. And we had certain things that we didn't like about how Rick Carlisle handled the younger players and stuff like that. Maybe Luka's minutes here and there. But, you know, overall, big picture, I mean, we obviously respect the guy. He's obviously going to be, you know, a big part of the Mavs franchise history. And when it comes down to it, he helped bring them their only title in franchise history. So there will always be a soft spot there for Rick. But it is nice, you know, to kind of go into a new era and kind of you can look back on that time fondly now. And I don't have to worry about being upset with Rick going into this season for once. So, but yeah, that's going to do it for our mailbag this week, guys. Like I said, our next episode is going to be done on the Fireside app. It's an app that Mark Cuban co-founded. If you're used to Green Room, it's kind of like Green Room, but it gives us a lot more flexibility. It gives us, you know, a way to reach more people when we do our live broadcast. So download the Fireside app on your phones and go find Matt and myself on there. And then you'll be prepared. You'll get a notification when we start our live podcast on there next time we come on. So be sure to do that. In the meantime, go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't done so already. Every now and then, we select a random few people to win a t-shirt, Mavs Step Back Podcast t-shirt. So when you leave a review, put your Twitter ad on there, and you might be winning one. So, guys, we appreciate it as always. Y'all have a great rest of your day, great rest of your week, and we'll see you next time. Y'all have a good one. Where we left at, no, we gotta get back, no, we gotta get back. Rep the map, step back, overcame the setbacks. Starting where we left at, no, we gotta get back, like, no, we gotta get back. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute. Let me step back for a minute.